Hello, my loves. I'm more excited than usual because this is part one in a four-part series on healing with anxiety. Can you hear the double entendre in that title? You know, I love a good double entendre. We are healing with our anxiety alongside of us. We are healing with because of anxiety. We're going to heal even though we have anxiety, and then we're going to heal the anxiety. So as I mentioned, this is part one. The crescendo of all of this is going to lead us to a heart-centered class that I'm doing on April 4th called How to Heal for Real. And whether you can get there that day or you are listening to this way after April 4th, 2024, you will always be able to access the content of that class. If you're a heart-centered member, our classes are always for free. Or you can just drop in for $20 and see how you like it. You head to daniellelaporte.com/class. Now, because this is a four-part series, I would love if you came along for the whole journey. Now, what I can see from data is that the majority of our listeners are either listening on Apple or Spotify. Subscribing makes sure that I can hold your hand for these next 4 weeks. And also it helps us rock the algorithm with some consciousness. We want to abscond it with light. So subscribe, because I've mapped this out. So we're kind of going from the outside in terms of this whole realm of anxiety. So today we're going to talk about the seven types of anxiety, actual anxiety disorders. I've got a few things to say about not over-identifying with those disorders. And then as the series goes on, we're going to move deeper into the metaphysics and the spiritual modalities of healing with anxiety. The healing can be done. You are doing it now. It is inevitable. I am a testament to that. People heal all the time with their anxiety. Okay, now I've been starting each podcast with a gift, and this is turning out to be really popular. So I've got a special offering at the entry point of every conversation. I have a spiritual business mastery bundle, and this is what it includes. I have a heart-centered leadership program. Do you know this? It's a curriculum of 34 practices. These are coaching tools. I've got workshop templates and conversation starter templates and circle and retreat templates that you can use as a leader, as an HR director, with your family, as a yoga teacher. You could sit down with all of our materials, follow the course, and just do a plug and play with a few weeks to be teaching this stuff. Part of the spiritual business bundle is you get lifetime access to that program. You also get 1 year in our heart-centered mastermind. This is where we're meeting twice a month, once with me and once with my team, to talk about conscious business and careering. And then you also get into our heart-centered membership, where I do two classes a month where we just focus on mind, body, spirit issues. So it's really the support system for your work in the world and your nervous system. So all of that bundled together is typically $2,500. And that's not like the digital bro inflated price. That's like the real price of things. So we're doing a period of time where the spiritual business bundle is 25% off. But because you're a listener, we're going to give you a code for an extra 10% off. So this is how it's going to work. You use code POD102 at checkout, you get the extra 10% off. So POD102, and you're going to go to daniellelaporte.com/bundle. And here's the timing of this. The offer has to expire at midnight on Friday, March 1st. So my podcasts always come out on Wednesday. If you're listening to this on its first release day, it's Wednesday, February 28th. So you have until Friday night when you go to bed, give or take, to head to daniellelaporte.com/bundle. You get the 25% off plus 10%. Oh, I can do the math. That's 35% off. These are my most substantive, sophisticated offerings that you can use for like advancing how you show up in the world in terms of career and business, getting some nourishment for your spiritual search, and you actually get some curriculum and tools to use in your work if that's what you want to do. It's pretty juice. DanielleLaporte.com/bundle. I'm going to be drawing on some atypical for me mainstream resources to give us an overview of different types of anxiety disorders. And as always, I'm weaving in the metaphysical teachings of the metaphysical practitioner, VS, that I've been working with for years. We co-create all of our meditations together and our themes in the heart-centered membership. And then, of course, I'm going to be bringing in some of my own experiences with anxiety, malaise, panic attacks, you know, really the buffet of all that heaviness, my own meltdowns, basically. Now, here's a big, I don't know, is this a disclaimer? It's not a disclaimer. Is it a prayer? Is it a pleading? Take it however you want. I want us to be really mindful to not over-identify with these labels that I'm going to offer for different types of anxiety disorders. Let me give you the definition of a disorder: a state of confusion, a breakdown of peaceful and law-abiding public behavior, disorderly conduct, an illness or condition that disrupts normal physical or mental functions. Okay, the hot word in that sentence for me is normal. Because what is normal? I would rather think of this as natural. An illness, meaning we are off balance, out of center, not feeling aligned with our higher self. Or a condition, a pattern, an ongoing repetitive behavior that turns into a pattern that disrupts our natural physical or mental functions. Because I believe that our natural state is this beautiful homeostasis. We are naturally joyful. We are naturally forgiving, compassionate. We can naturally, with ease, come back to states of happiness. When we are disordered, dysregulated, it's much more difficult to come back to our natural beingness. So difficult sometimes that we don't even believe that it's possible, but it is. I am proof of that. Almost half of my girlfriends are proof of that, which brings me to some extra honor and respect for women and their relationship to anxiety, their experiences with anxiety, because the female body is more prone to hormonal imbalances. So women have a tendency to have a higher percentage of anxiety situations than men do. Now, you can take this statistic for whatever it's worth. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, approximately 19% of adults in the USA have some type of anxiety disorder. So that's just the US. I would guess that that probably applies to Canadians. Not much difference in our culture, really. And I'll just draw a circle around that because there are lots of other cultures, countries, ways of being that don't have the same kind of experiences with anxiety because they are living very differently than we are. Okay, just want to love on you and emphasize again, we do not want to over-identify with these labels. You will hear yourself and someone you love and someone you have a hard time loving in one of these seven situations. The call, the invitation here is to see it as a weed in your garden. And you focus on all the other good things that are growing and you keep your eye on that weed. You're going to tend to it in a very particular way. You are not the anxiety disorder. It's the weather that is moving through the sky of your consciousness, okay? You are not all this. You are so much more. This is just one part of your experience. All right, let's do this. Number one, generalized anxiety disorder. This is like vanilla, generic. Everybody got a little bit of this anxiety. It is defined as excess worry and anxiety, just related to day-to-day activities and events. It is a kind of nervousness, an agitation that feels difficult to control, and it typically bounces around. It goes from one topic to another. What triggers it? Pretty much anything. Depends on the weather, the day, your hormonal state, what you ate, your predisposition, your karma, the news, hello, relationships, all kinds of conflict, traffic. It's that kind of constant, scratchy record in the background. It's like not quite being on the channel. It is friction. It's a gnawing. Okay, let's just take a sweet pause right here and talk about attuning. Many of us are still recovering from all of the events that have gone down in the last 3-4 years on this planet. I want us to just be so upfront, transparent, and like wake up to the fact that everyone is just a little bit traumatized. And trauma has become a buzzword, but I think for very good reason, because no one is impervious to what's happening globally. We're tapped into the collective, whether we're conscious of it or not. We are all from the same source. We are all buzzing from the same hub. And some of us are attuned to that connection. And some of us, you know, we're checked out. Not so much. Not so on the attuned. But whether you are a monk and you are cloistered, or you are rocking it out in the financial district, you are going to be feeling the effects of the massive shifts that have happened and are still happening in the world. And if you're not fully conscious of what the stress is doing to you, well, your nervous system is. Your nervous system is picking up on everything. And that is why the vast majority of us, we can just put our spiritual bypassing and our macho bravado on ice, most of us could just exhale and say, yeah, I got some form of general anxiety happening right now. I don't know so much about the disorder, but okay, next point. Social anxiety disorder, also known as SAD, is very sad. So typically, obviously, it's a fear of being in social situations, you know, anything work-related, public speaking. I wonder if it's really true that the fear of public speaking is the majority's number one fear over death. Is that really true? Or maybe it's number two. It's up there. Fear of speaking in private situations. Anything involving exchanging information in a room full of people can create some social anxiety disorder in people. It's sad people. Then there's agoraphobia. Obviously, we hope this is obvious, it's an irrational fear, extreme fear, where it feels like escape is impossible from situations of being around people. So people with agoraphobia, they will avoid driving. They definitely do not want to be in crowds, traveling through crowded airports, nightmare, shopping in big stores. They're going to avoid that because they do not want to be consumed by that irrational fear. Then we have panic. Panic has its own particular terrorizing personality. So panic is different in its texture, I would say, from anxiety. Panic is more like a flare gun going off, whereas anxiety is more like this hot coal, slow burn. So when you've got really intense, persevering, persistent panic attacks, they usually show up with no warning. It can really put you in a state of extreme distress and stress. So panic attacks have very real symptoms, physical symptoms. The adrenaline starts pumping, cortisol levels start going out of whack, your heartbeat is going to start racing, then you're going to have increased sweating, then you're going to move into actual terror. I have a metaphysical perspective on this. And this is very specifically a teaching from VS. she says that panic attacks are taking place when the prana, so the life force, your pure life energy, the life force from your adrenal glands and your root chakra, so all that kind of lower area within the body, when the life force from those areas is shooting upwards, it unloads into the heart chakra. It's a very interesting perspective, right? That you've got all of this. So you're keeping in mind that first, second, and third chakra, those are about creativity and birth and will and survival. So when those areas in our being are moving into fight flight mode, you've got this rush of chemicals. Those chemicals will unload in the heart chakra, actually incredibly intelligent, safe place for that panic to go. And that's why your breathing and your heartbeat get so affected. A lot of people feel that they're actually having a heart attack when the panic attack comes on. And again, this is different than anxiety. So anxiety is more of something that happens in the head, right? It's more mental in nature. You could visualize how it affects your third eye, also known as your ajna or your sixth chakra. More mental in nature, a little more discombobulating. Okay, so that's panic with a little bit of teasing out on anxiety. Let's talk about phobias. This is five on the list of seven types of anxiety disorders. Phobias are very specific, aren't they? They're very particular. So, a phobia of sharks, spiders, snakes. The intensity of the fear, of course, again, it's totally irrational. The intensity of the fear does not match the actual situation. Like, you could be a little bit concerned about a snake, but like freaking out because of it. You know, it depends on the situation, but mostly no reason to freak out unless you have a phobia. Now, here's the more esoteric perspective of phobias. And I'm going to have to break this down for us. I'm going to talk about energy bodies. Phobias are looked at as an impression. Another way to say this would be like an energetic stamp onto our energy bodies. I'll explain what energy bodies are in a second. But that deep groove that's created in our energy bodies has our mind, has our memory go back to it. And we fixate on this fear. We fixate on, is it going to happen again? What's going to happen if it happens? We fixate on running from it. And I can tell you from experience, what you run from will chase you. So let me give you the definitions of energy bodies to really flesh this out. We have four kinds of bodies that make up the energy body. The first body is the etheric body. These are your chakras. These are your meridians. This is your prana, your chi, your life force, also known as your nadis, N-A-D-I-S, that is flowing through you. So you could think of this as, you know, your internal energy currents. You could think when you go for acupressure, this is what the physician is going for. They're trying to find that particular meridian that holds a kind of energy that needs to be unblocked or supercharged. So that's your etheric body. Then we have our astral body. So the astral body is the subconscious part of ourselves. It's our emotions. It's our feelings. This is a little hard to fess up to sometimes. We're like, what? Our feelings are part of our lower, yeah, they are, but that's okay. We'll unpack that in the future. So emotions, think water element. The emotions live in the solar plexus area, that third chakra. Okay, so etheric body, energy stuff. Astral body, emotional stuff. Then there's the mental body, pretty straightforward. Your thought forms, your rational thinking mind, in terms of elements, that's associated with fire. That's that ajna chakra that I mentioned before when I was talking about the place where anxiety specifically likes to hang out. Also affects the spleen chakra. Okay, so etheric, chakras, astral, feelings, mental, thinking. And then, of course, there's your physical body. Your physical body is the densification, you could say, the materialization in this dimension of all of your energy bodies, etheric, astral, mental, and bloop, there you have your physical body. So back to phobias. The esoteric understanding is that there is this energetic stamp, this kind of pain theme that gets embedded in our energy bodies, in our feelings, in our thinking, and we keep looping to go back to it. And that looping, that returning, that fixating is what creates this irrationality, this phobia, where you just don't want to go near this thing that you are terrified of for likely no good reason. Okay, we're moving down the list. OCD, hello. Obsessive compulsive disorder. You know, this gets so joked about, and I get that. I think it's a good thing to play with all of the labels and the disorders and, you know, to laugh at ourselves until we're laughing at somebody else, until we misdiagnose somebody else, until we're taking it so lightly that we're really not seeing the signs within ourselves or within someone that we know and love, that there is something much deeper and more effectual going on. So OCD is defined as a collection of frequent distressing thoughts, that create a repetitive pattern of behavior. And then obviously creates a lot of anxiety within that person. So you got the thoughts. The thoughts are telling you to do something and you got to do it and you're going to do it over and over again. And that whole kind of cycle creates anxiety on top of anxiety. And then what you have is you've got the obsessions and all those compulsions, obsessive compulsive disorder, that start to take over your day. And when that happens, you cannot lead a normal, natural life. And it's going to lead to the decline of your work in the world and your relationships. And it's something I pray for everybody's healing around OCD. Okay, last on the list, PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. We experience a distressing event and it may imprint us to the degree that we have this disorder. So it looks like flashbacks of memories, visitations, bouts of anxiety. It manifests as hypervigilance. It's one thing to be cautious, but do you have to be like wildly cautious about all the things? And this is where we will most definitely fall into one of what I call your default stress reaction, fight, flight, freeze, or fawn responses. So what's the opposite of a default stress reaction? A balancing or an ideal stress response. We're more mindful and intentional about how we manage the arising stress. How are we going to hold that flashback of that really painful memory with a response instead of a reaction? Okay, so did you hear yourself in any of these? Generalized anxiety disorder, social anxiety disorder, agoraphobia, panic, phobias, obsessive compulsive disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder. Of course you did, because you got born and it's a little rough coming in. Because we were all raised by imperfect people who were burning their own karma. And because we have agreements to engage in challenges to help expand us, to help us point us in the direction of soul. Because we are living in dark times. Side note, we chose to be here. We have chosen to bring heaven to earth, to be the sanity in the insanity, to create the common ground for common sense. Okay, so if it's understandable that most of us have some of these anxiety disorders to some degree, or we know people who do, we should be looking at the causes. So take a deep breath. I'm going to try and glide through this. You most definitely are going to hear some of your behaviors, your inclinations of yourself and others on this list. 24. Here we go. What are the causes of anxiety? By the way, this is from my Nourish System program, okay? Little to no sunshine. I could break every one of these down, talk about all the reasons behind the lack of the thing, from vitamin D to imbalanced circadian rhythms to just feeling hopeful when you look at the sky, but let me get through this list with you. Little to no sunshine. Lack of adequate movement. Too much yang movement. And by yang, I mean aggressive, pushing, hardcore, over the top, excessive striving. Too much yang movement. An imbalance. This is the fourth thing on the list. Imbalance of yin and yang movements and their interrelationship with each other. So yang is not all bad. Yin is not all bad. We need both. We need to move. We need to rest. We need the masculine. We need the feminine. We need the burn. We need the restoration. What causes anxiety? Anxiety itself. PTSD, the remembering of traumatic events. Number six on the list, triggers that haven't healed yet. So you can have things that trigger you that don't necessarily fall into the category of an anxiety situation. It's just things that are deeply bothering you that you have not brought up to be looked at. Why do they bother you? Where's that trigger come from? And how can you love on it so it relaxes? Seven, drugs, street drugs, substances, nicotine, alcohol in excess. And sometimes for some of us, depending on how we're built, wired, our past, our current physical makeup, it doesn't take much of those substances to throw us off. So we're not talking about excessive intake or addiction necessarily. Eight, childhood trauma, which we all have, of course, because we're being raised by people who are working out their trauma. But my point here is childhood trauma that's still unconscious. That will cause you anxiety. That trauma will keep knocking on the roof of the basement in your psyche to say, hey, can you look at me? There's something that happened that we haven't loved on yet. We haven't quite unpacked it. So let me just give you some anxiety tremors, because the anxiety will get you to slow down, to pay attention, to learn to breathe, to go to therapy, to go hug a tree. Okay, number nine, an overactivated sympathetic system. That means we are constantly in either fight and flight or freeze or fawn mode. And that can happen for lots of reasons. Actually, I will unpack some of those reasons in the rest of this list. One of the reasons for that kind of default stress response is that we might be in a state of chronic pain, acute physical, emotional, or mental illness will just create anxiety on top of anxiety. And we will always be trying to escape, to fight our way out of, or just shut down for survival reasons. And then you have just like all the ongoing everyday stuff, the accosting of traffic, of arguments, of ongoing conflict. And then number 12, we have the real physical chemical imbalances, hormonal imbalances that affect how we think, how we move, creates all kinds of inflammation and therefore imbalances. 13, certain medications, when they are not right for you in the right dose, right type, will cause anxiety. And then we have nutritional deficiencies. We go too long without eating. We miss meals too often, or, you know, we're just eating crap, packaged, nutrient, vacant food. And along those same lines, when you have intense dieting, you know, crash dieting, where you are taking away a lot of calories really quickly and shocking the body, that can create an anxiety response. Number 16, we just don't take enough breaks. You know, it's one of the most powerful, simple words of advice I got from the most powerful spiritual teacher I've ever met in my life. And that person is VS, the woman that I'm building so much of this with. And she said, you know, Dee, Just take breaks. I was like, right. When we take the break, the nervous system can regulate. We take the break so that we can do the work that we are meant to do. It doesn't mean we have to drop out or retire or quit or we're not fulfilling our dharma or our life purpose. We get to do all of those things we're meant to do. Just take some breaks so we can do those things. Okay, let's take a right turn and we get into our flawed thinking that causes anxiety. Thoughts about unworthiness. Ridiculous question, by the way. If you've ever heard me talk about worth, I put that in quotes, or feeling unworthy, that is a conversation that the wounded self wants to perpetuate, that the ego wants to keep going. The heart, the higher self, never even would question your worth. You are the beloved. Okay, let's take a hard left turn. Excess packaged foods, sugar, caffeine, all can jack up your anxiety. Number 19, the obvious things of hardships in life, accidents, traumatic life situations, even like extreme weather events and destruction in nature where we live. And then you've got the heavy physical stuff, disabilities, physical disabilities, emotional disabilities, mental disabilities, all increase anxiety if they are not met with love. We're going to be unpacking that in the next few weeks. Number 21, an activated amygdala region of the brain. So that is also called the lizard brain. If you reach right now and put your hand at the back of your neck, the top of your hand, like your pinky, will be at the base of your skull. That's where the amygdala hangs out. I've been in situations where I really feel that aching and I think, what am I afraid of? And then that's the cue. I unpack that. News, hello. Violence in movies, in TV, on social media. I am begging you. Ain't too proud to beg you to be super duper mindful about what you are ingesting from all sources, because your subconscious self, your unconscious self, your unhealed inner child is seeing all of that stuff, taking it very literally, meaning it can't decipher what's real and what's not real. And then for the real, actual violent things you're seeing, that subconscious content, it doesn't have the skill, because it's not conscious, to find a safe place for that violence to land within you, for you to process it. I have to process it from our higher thinking, from a place of love and inclusiveness. Okay, number 23, lack of basic self-care, lack of hygiene, lack of emotional regulation, an inability to self-soothe, running yourself ragged. An absence of gentleness will increase anxiety. And 24, little to no prayer, meditation, reflection, or contemplation. I really believe that that is one of the most powerful, sustaining, immediate, enduring, effectual, life-changing pathways to healing with anxiety. And you know, we're going to be talking about that. All right. So that's the tour de force. And let's head across this finish line, because I always want to get us to the antidote. Always interested in going to the shadow so that we can see that we are the light. I've got 6 really simple ways to dissolve anxiety with a focus here on physical, simple, and immediate methods, okay? We're going to go more deeply into the metaphysics later. Number 1, hydration, please. Hydrate with spring water, clean water, herbal tea, organic ideally. And then you do some type of regulated breath work. So you refresh your system, you hydrate, and then you move into, now ideally, by the way, you'd be doing this for 12 minutes. Change your life, change your day for sure. Now here's 3 types of breathing techniques. 1 is alternate breathing, but I want to be specific about this. Alternate breathing can be you close your right nostril with 1 finger and you inhale, and then you close your left nostril and then you inhale. that can actually jack up your sympathetic nervous system. And that's not what we want. We want to just move towards calming. So for alternate breath, what my suggestion is to use your thumb and you press down on your right nostril and you are going to be inhaling through your left nostril. You just do a few rounds of that. You might feel a bit panicky as you get that going. That's fine. You can take a break. 3 breaths, 7 breaths, 3 minutes, 12 minutes, alternate breathing. And then there's box breathing. Box breathing is also called 4-count breathing. So you inhale for 4 counts, you hold it for 4 counts, you exhale for 4 counts, you hold it for 4 counts, and repeat. And then my current personal preference is 4-6-8 breathing. You inhale for 4 counts, you hold your breath for 6 counts, you exhale very slowly for 8 counts. 4 in, hold for 6, 8 out. The shortcut to all of that, which I find is genius for regulating your nervous system, getting back to calm, is just exhale longer than you inhaled. Take a quick breath if you need to, and have your exhale be longer. That will help you calm right down. Okay, second thing that's physical, simple, immediate, hum. What? Hum? Are you serious? Come on now, hum. Yes. All right. Why do you hum? Because humming activates the vagus nerve. What's the vagus nerve? The vagus nerve is a cranial nerve. Did you know that it is the longest, largest, and most important nerve for tapping into your parasympathetic nervous system? Your parasympathetic nervous system, what's that? That's the system that you have inbuilt that helps your body relax at all times. The vagus nerve itself, it's pretty complex and fibrous. It's got lots and lots and lots and lots of nerve fibers. Those nerve fibers have a widespread effect throughout all of your glands and organs. The vagus nerve is like, it's like everywhere in your body. It's around your lungs. It's around your liver and the spleen and the kidneys and the gut. So the vagus nerve is actually primarily responsible for controlling your mood. This is how important it is. Your immune response, your heart rate, and your digestion. Who knew that you could calm all of this down and bring it back to center and make it all healthier by just singing your favorite song? When the vagus nerve is pumping and it's healthy and it's vibrating just the way you want it to be, when it itself is humming, it prevents inflammation. So much illness and disease is connected to inflammation. It helps brain health. It initiates a relaxation response. And it keeps the communication going between your gut and your brain. So much data, science out there right now about the relationship between trauma, how it's held in both the gut and the brain. Bigger than that, from my perspective, is trauma is held in the mind. And what is held in the mind affects the gut and the brain. So vagus nerve love is a really big deal for reducing anxiety and balancing your blood pressure and regulating your heart rate and really getting your body's stress response down to a response instead of a reaction. So sing a song, 5 minutes, humming, chanting. What if you could just do 3 ohms to begin with? I remember, you know, when I first started working with sound meditation, I felt so shy to om in my very own personal company. Om. You see? You can do it. Number 3 on our list of simple things, gargle with warm sea salt water and then you spit it out. Why do you do that? Because what's it help? Your vagus nerve. Salt water, warmth, the vibration of the gargling tones your vagus nerve. Next thing, number 4, cold water on your face. So you don't have to go all Wim Hof on me. Just splashing cold water on your face. You could drip a little bit if it's not a day when you need to have your hair just so, because you're getting on Zoom. You just drop a little bit on the crown of your head. You could splash some cold water on the back of your neck, your shoulders. Do this like 2 to 3 minutes. It'd be great if you just had a bowl of ice cold water. Wouldn't be wasting too much water, okay? Splashing cold water, face regulating. Okay, fifth one. Apply pressure to the point between your eyebrows, right? So your third eye, your ajna center, okay? And then at the same time, so it's going to take two hands, you're going to apply pressure on the cleft of your chin. And you could do it together at the same time, simultaneously, or you could do it separately, 1 minute each. It's like so comforting. Just do it right now. Just press on your third eye. It's like you're not trying to like dig in there. It's just, it's like a loving, I got you. I see you. I'm holding you. I'm tapping into you. Yeah. And then you just do it on the cleft of your chin. So not under your chin, just like, you know, those 2 inches underneath your lip. It's good, eh? Okay. And six, walk and run a little bit. Walk and just run a little bit. Just walk. Okay, so I've started doing this. Mostly, I will admit, I've been doing walk and run because I want to get all like extra sleek for my upcoming wedding. But it turns out it's actually quite natural for me. Who'd have thought? And I don't get all athletic and freaky about it. Like I wear bad shoes and I have my hat on and my fleece and I'm totally not. I just look like I'm going to get some groceries or I just, you know, or maybe it's in the morning and it looks like I just got out of the hospital. And I try and make it look, if my ego gets the best of me and I'm on the seawall with all of the runners and their Hokas and their gear, you know, and I actually do have Hokas. I love my Hokas, by the way. They're like pillows on your feet. They're my favorite footwear. No, are they? They're my favorite running footwear. You know, I see everybody else, all the other Vancouver athletes in their gear. And there I am just looking like a bit of a vagabond in the morning. And I just, sometimes I'll fake like I have to go do something. So I'll be walking and I'll look at my phone. I'll make it like, oh, I gotta go. And then, like, I'll run for like 3 minutes and then I just calm down. And I've gotten in the habit of like, I take the back ways. I'll go on the side streets. I go on like the little part in the Stanley Park forest that I know nobody's going to be on. And yeah, walk, run, walk, run. So good for your nervous system. Okay, let me put a bow on all of this. Managing anxiety looks like learning about anxiety, which I hope we have done here together today. I just want to go back to my personal bias. Point number 24, and what causes anxiety to begin with? Little to no prayer, meditation, reflection, or contemplation. Let me just remind you that a heart-centered life, which I know you are here for, is a reflective life. It's a life where we are building in time to think things through, time to be still, time for the sacred to make its way into us in the mornings and before we go to sleep at night. This is how we build spiritual resilience. Spiritual resilience is the medicine for anxiety. Those overtly spiritual practices are not just how we create better neural pathways in our brain, but how we create a stronger pathway to our higher knowing, to the divine that is always waiting for us to just slow down so it can tell us how beloved we are and the next best move. Those practices that build spiritual resilience are all about getting to know your true self, not over-identifying with the disorder or the prognosis or the diagnosis or our small self or our past, our history, our fears. That's not the true self. Spiritual resilience builds the bridge to you experiencing your beauty and your power. And when you touch that substance, when you rest in that love, in that true reality, your fears and your anxiety have a place to relax. All right, loves, let's wrap with some metta bhavana. Keep in mind that our next class for the heart-centered community, all are welcome, is going to be on Thursday, March 7th. You can head to daniellelaporte.com/class to reserve your place, or it's free for members. It's about healing fear and anxiety with better beliefs. It's going to be a really cool one. I'm walking you through a process of looking at thought forms behind beliefs that are both negative and positive. Bring your pencils because it's going to be a journaling circle experience. And remember, until Friday, the Spiritual Business Mastery Bundle is on super sale. 35% off, extra 10% off, or 25% off if you use POD102 at checkout. So you go to daniellelaporte.com/bundle. Okay. The episode that's coming out in this series next Wednesday, it'll be part two of the four-part series on healing with anxiety, is about six ways to show your anxiety some love. It's not going to be as heavy. It's not going to be as broadly sweeping as this is. Much sweeter, much lighter. I hope to have you there. If you're in a place to do this, close your eyes. We're going to take a deep breath in. As all of our heart-centered leaders and members know, we always do natural breathing, meaning you're inhaling and exhaling through your nose and your mouth is closed. You let your mind drop into your heart center, just paying attention to that warmth, that warm, friendly, luminous quality in your heart. And it is from there that we will say the metta bhavana prayer. Metta, as in M-E-T-T-A, meaning loving kindness. Bhavana, meaning practice. First, we pray for ourselves. Then we give our attention to someone or a group in particular. And then we're going to pray for everybody. And maybe you want to put your hand on your heart right now. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I be free of suffering. May I be free of mental anxiety. May I live in peace. May my life be blessed with ease. Now, who do you want to offer this to? May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be free of suffering. May you be free of mental anxiety. May you live in peace. May your life be blessed with ease. And then for everybody, and this includes the animal kingdom, may we be happy. May we be healthy. May we be free of suffering. May we be free of mental anxiety. May we live in peace. May our lives be blessed with ease. I'm so glad you're here. With love, Danielle. Thank you so much for listening, for feeling, for spreading the word. With love.